And maybe you're a guest here, maybe you've not been, or maybe this is one of your second or third times here. I just want to encourage you. We have an Alpha course starting. We've started it already, and we're into the second week, and we're looking at a topic of why did Jesus die? And then we go on to look at things like why do Christians pray in the Bible and all kinds of things like that. You know, when I was in the process of deciding whether to become a Christian or not, I went on an Alpha course, and it massively changed me, massively encouraged me to put my faith in Jesus and to say yes. And you know, since that point, my life has changed dramatically. I've forgiven people who've hurt me. I've found that I've got a purpose and a meaning to my life. And I wonder if you're searching for those things. You might just find them on this course. So please, I encourage you to do it. Oh, and there's awesome food. You know, if you come for no other reason, just come and try the food. It's awesome. Anyway, shall we welcome Ian Duffy to the stage?
Tom, if the food's that awesome, I'm coming. I was with my dad earlier today, and he was telling me that the world record for someone being in a coma and coming out and being absolutely fine is 18 years. Can you believe that? I don't know whether he's right or not, but it got my attention. 18 years. Can you imagine when you were last awake and then you wake up 18 years later? I mean, let's just say it was 18 years ago until today, right? I doubt that that person would even know what a mobile phone was. I doubt that that person would have ever heard of Apple or Facebook. For that, let's have a shout out, yeah? What else would they not know? What, over the last 18 years, what else do you reckon? Internet, probably. Or Tinternet, depending where you're from. Where else? What else? Flat screen telly. Thanks, obviously, the year 2000. Can we have some sensible shout outs? You've done two now, you're finished. I was just thinking, probably things like automatic cars. There weren't that many of them with automatic parking now. You didn't get many of them, did you? Did you hear me earlier, Jenny? Hearing aids have improved in the last 18 years, probably. Lots of stuff has changed, hasn't it? So can you imagine waking up 18 years later to find so many things different now from when they were then? And that's in 18 years, but what I find is, it seems like the world changes every 18 minutes these days. Does it to you? The world is getting faster and faster. And over the last few years, the last 18 months, I think, I've had like three core blimey moments when I've woke up on a morning. I've gone to bed wondering what's going to happen the next day, and the next day something has happened that has astonished me. And the first one, and if you're like me, when you go to bed, I leave my phone on a table next to the bed. Sinner, yeah. And the reason I do that is because I used to work for a company that was worked offshore, so you had to have your phone on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I don't know why, but I just keep it there. Anyway, I remember the first of these three core blimey moments was when I woke up and looked on my phone at the news, and I said to Carolyn, Scotland have voted to stay as part of the UK. I was amazed. I honestly thought they were going to vote independence, but they voted to stay as part of the UK. My second core blimey moment was when I woke up and I went, we're leaving the EU. Tell you what, it's dangerous going to sleep, isn't it? Anything could happen. And the third one was, Donald Trump's the president of the United States of America and Mickey Mouse is his deputy. I don't know. Well, you know, I had like three, and it's almost like you couldn't write this stuff, could you? You couldn't write this stuff, but the world is changing. And the world that you and I are so familiar with now is going to be very, very different in a few years' time, maybe even in a few months' time, never mind going into a coma for 18 years. This is a time of real change. And as I talk to people about it, they have lots of different things that they talk about, you know, whether it's the economy or how much money they've got or the quality of their life. It's all big news, and I'm interested in people. My job is to manage people, actually, and so I've studied people. I've studied their body language. I've studied how they react to certain things. I guess after all this time, I could probably say that I can read some people quite well. But then again, if you talk to my missus, she tells you that I'm as thick as two short planks when it comes to actually seeing what's going on in situations. But it's very, very interesting. And I've seen people react in three or four different ways to all of these changes. The first is mad panic. Absolute mad panic. I got texts off people saying, the Labour government haven't got in. What are we going to do? Like, I know. And I went back and went, I have no idea, smiley face. People panic. Other people worry and are totally anxious about stuff going on thousands of miles away from them that they can do nothing about. Some people could not give a stuff. They don't care. They just carry on with their own life and they're unaffected by what they hear about what's going on around them. And then there's a fourth group of people, a very small group of people that I know react with complete peace and total happiness, irrespective of what is going on around them. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you tonight about peace. I think I was born a stress head. I think I came out of my mother's womb and went, show me the plan, what's the deadline, where's the organization chart? I think that's what happened in the maternity ward the day I was born. You see, I do this thing with people at work where I say, let me ask you this question. Are you the kind of person who, when you go on holiday, you want to know where the resort is, what the temperature's going to be like, what the room's going to be like, what the entertainment's going to be like, what the day trips around are going to be like, or do you simply, and you've packed your suitcase with exactly what you're going to wear every day, you know exactly what you're going to wear, some people are nodding because you're normal like me, all right? Or are you right at the other end of the scale where someone packs it for you, you rock up at this place and you just think, whatever will be, will be. You see, I married that. I married whatever will be, which is why at lunchtime on a sunny day, I'm like, are we ever going to leave this apartment? And Mr. and Mr. Tablet and Miss Cell Phone and Mrs. whatever will be go, all right, keep your hair on. Me, of all people, keep your hair on. All right, so it's interesting, isn't it, how people who are organisers and planners get frustrated and anxious about everything, even when they're on holiday and supposed to be chillaxing, all right? And then other people don't get stressed at all. Do you know people like that? It's very interesting, isn't it, how different people are wired in different ways. And my mum obviously passed her genes on to me because for 74 years, she was a stress head. Isn't that right, Auntie Val? My mum used to stress about everything. In fact, Christmas, that wonderful time of the year, was heart attack city for my mother. Everything about it. I remember the day when we would all look at my dad, my sister, and I would look at each other with dread when my mum said, I think we'll put the decorations up tonight. We would look at each other and go, oh. We would rather put hot coals in our eyes and put decorations up in our house, because it had to be just so. Just so. And for 74 and a half years, that's how my mum was. She was driven that way, and she drove me a little bit that way as well. But I grew up in a wonderful family, actually. I thank God for my mum and dad. Whatever their quirks are, and we've all got many, that are absolutely gorgeous, mum and dad. And they're normally here tonight, but unfortunately my mum's not well. She's been diagnosed with cancer and she's in hospital at the minute, so that she's not been out of hospital for a few months now. But I did go to see her today, and I'll tell you a couple of things that she said later on. But my mum has been stressing about everything from the day she was born until a few months ago. You see, a few months ago, everything was taken out of her hands. A few months ago, she was told, "So sorry, Mrs. Duffew, you've got cancer, and it's aggressive, and it's advanced. We think it's treatable and potentially curable, but we just don't know." I think life as you know it stops then, doesn't it? When someone gives you news like that, what you're having for tea that night pales into insignificance. What's happening in America is utterly irrelevant to you now. In fact, everything that you ever worried about finds itself way over there on your radar. And for my mum, that's what's happened over the last 6 months. You see, when I go in to see my mum, I can say to her, "Hi, mum," and she'll go, "Hi, son." And I'll say, "You know, it's been an interesting day today. James played football, he won 3-0 and he scored." And she'll go, "Oh, that's nice. That's nice." Months ago, she'd have been doing cartwheels and swinging from the chandeliers of that kind of news. But today, its value to her is down here somewhere. Does that make sense? She's still happy, but it doesn't really mean that much to her anymore. In fact, I could say to her, "Ma'am, flipping heck, it was awesome at church this morning. 7 people exploded." She'd go, "That's nice. That's nice." It's down here on what she reacts to. But if you say to my mum, "How are you?" Really deep down in yourself, she will say, "I am at total peace, son, and I'm ready to go anytime the Lord wants to take me up here." See, my mum had a bit of a moment, which she describes as an out-of-body experience. It was a Thursday night. She's a diabetic as well, and her blood sugar went so low that she went hypoglycemic. And then with all of the trouble with the cancer and everything going on as well, she reckons that she just completely went. And all she can remember was moving towards a bright white light, but being at complete peace. And as she got closer and closer to this light, she got more and more peaceful. And then something dragged her back, and she woke up in a hospital bed. And to this day, my sister and I are convinced that they zapped her and brought her back. I tell you what, when you have an experience like that, all you want is another one of those experiences. So my mum is ready to go to the Lord anytime. He could take her today, tomorrow, next week, next year. She doesn't care as long as he takes her. And she knows he's going to. She knows that he's going to. And I look at her sometimes with this illness and this disease and the fact that she's in the hands of a hospital that, to be honest with you, don't really know for sure themselves what they're really doing. And I think, how can you be so peaceful? How can you have a peace that surpasses my real understanding of the situation? And yet she has. And she has because years ago, as a girl, she said yes to Jesus. She said, "I've heard about you. I know about you. And I really like you. I'd like to say yes to you. I'd like you to be my Savior. I'd like you to come into my life and be Lord of my life. I'd like that." And ever since that day, she's been living with the Lord Jesus as her personal Savior. Has it been easy? No. Life hasn't been easy. But she has a peace about her right now that goes right through to her inner core. And I said to her, what do you do in the hospital all day? Because hospitals are really boring places, aren't they? and you sat in bed all day. I said, what do you do in hospital all day? And she said, it gives you a long time to pray. It gives you a lot of time to talk to Jesus. It gives you loads of time to really think about what's important. And I tell you, it's like talking to a different woman, talking to my mum, because no longer is she bothered about the bills. No longer is she bothered about how the grandkids are. No longer is she bothered about how my business is doing. No longer is she bothered about anything that's outside of her control, which, by the way, was everything. All she's bothered about now is what the Lord says to her. Isn't that interesting? It's really, really interesting. You see, I had a mum who was a complete stress head, just like me. But I had a dad who was the exact opposite. My dad has walked in peace for 50 years, over 50 years, and nothing stresses him out. It stresses me out that nothing stresses him out. Everything that happens, he always says, well, let's just leave it with the Lord. How do you do that, Dad? How do you react like that to absolutely everything? Margaret, I've just had a union meeting at work and there's going to be 100 welders made redundant, love. Could you be one of them, Malcolm? Yeah, could be. What are we going to do? We've got a mortgage. Well, let's just leave it with the Lord. It's actually a really wonderful place to be in, because nothing stresses him, including his wife of 55 years who has cancer. He still walks in that place of total peace. You know, when I was a kid, I said yes to Jesus as a young boy. And I grew up in a Christian house. And I grew up with a great mum and dad who taught me the truth. But when I was 16, I couldn't wait to get out of this thing called church life, because it was so boring. It was so boring. It was death to me. It was awful. I knew I was saved, but I couldn't stand going to church. Don't laugh too loud. I believed in Jesus, but I hated hanging around with people that had no life to them. For me, the fun was out there. And so I went where the fun was, and at 16, I went clubbing. At 16, me and my friends went and had a good time, actually. It wasn't bad. Thank the Lord, I avoided some of the stuff that you could really get into in the late 80s rave scene. I never quite got into it. I never quite got into drugs. I never quite got into all of the trouble that went with that. But I did do the scene. And there used to be 25 of us that went out on a night out. 25 lads. We were a big gang of lads. And we used to get a minibus from Normanby into Middlesbrough every Friday and Saturday night. And I lived in Eston and they lived in Normanby. So I used to walk about 20 minutes, 15 minutes from Eston to Normanby. And we'd all get the bus and we'd all go to town, have a few hours in town, and then we'd get a bus back at like 2 in the morning. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would walk from Normanby back to my home in Eston with rave music still banging in my ears. But it was complete silence. Because at 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning, there isn't an awful lot going on in Eston. And as I would walk home, despite the ringing in my ears, God himself, through the Holy Spirit, would speak to me. And he would say to me, every single time I walked home, I'm still here. I'm still here. And for a while, you know, it used to make me cringe, because I used to look up at the sky sometimes and say, do you really know who I am, though? Do you know what I've just done tonight? Just now, just hours ago, do you know what I've just done? And the Holy Spirit would say to me, I'm still here. Just those words, I'm still here. And I used to get into bed, put my head under my duvet and kind of try and hide from the reality of the situation that God himself was right in my bedroom. And for 3 years, I lived that life. For 3 years, I hit the club scene 3 or 4 nights a week and had that walk home. And that became a tough walk home for me, because I remember towards the end of those 3 years, in the bus coming home, I was thinking, I'm dreading this walk home, actually. Because I knew that God was going to talk to me again. And after 3 years, I couldn't deal with it anymore. I couldn't deal with the fact that he wouldn't let go of me. He wouldn't leave me. I was too precious to him. And at the age of 19, I kind of recommitted my life to Jesus and said, do you know what, God? You've stuck by me despite everything I've done over the last few years. I'm going to come back to you and give you another go. And here I am, just 4 years later. Too loud, far too loud. 27 years later. So happy that I made that decision. So glad that the God in heaven that said to me, I'm still here, was still there. You see, you may have known Jesus in the past, and tonight you're miles away from him. One question, who moved? Who moved? You or him? And you may not know Jesus at all. And tonight I want to tell you that I'm so glad that I said yes to him. I had a nice life, actually. My life was pretty good, and it still is, but it is so much better for having Jesus in it. And I decided at the beginning of this year that I was going to start reading the Bible and see if I could read it in a year. It's day 29 now, so as I read day 15 this morning, I was reading about Job. And in it, Job loses everything and then really cries out to God, why? Why all this mess? And at the very end of all that trial, God says to Job, where were you when I separated night from day? Were you responsible for boxing in the sea from the land? Where were you when I formed and made every animal uniquely, perfectly, and beautifully? Did you do all that? Or was that me? And Job, in his pity party, looks at God and says, I really like you, God. I really like what you've done and how I'm in it. And Job is phenomenally blessed, more than ever before, more than ever before. And a lot of people talk about creation versus evolution, don't they? A lot of people say, oh, this nonsense that God, a God, creates the earth like that. I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. For me, I'm a man who needs evidence, they say. I need evidence. And I'll go with the Big Bang Theory, thanks very much. I have a problem with that. I'm not a hand grenade expert. I've never even held an hand grenade. I probably couldn't even spell the word hand grenade. However, if I had one now and I threw it into this room, I cannot, with all the rational thinking in my head, imagine that it would do something beautiful. I can't. All I can imagine is that it would create mess and chaos, and out of it would just come more mess and chaos. And yet, that's what people say happened. Do you know what I find much easier to believe? That the God of this world chose to do something beautiful. And if he is God, he can do anything he wants. And as he spoke those words, something beautiful came. You see, I like consistency in people. I can't stand it. It stresses me. When people are inconsistent, are you coming this week? Yes. Okay, great. And they come. I'll see you next week. And they don't come. Drives me nuts. Drives me nuts. But what I like is consistency. And I think God is really consistent. Because all he ever does is beautiful things. You see, in a heartbeat, he creates the earth.
and everything in it. And in a heartbeat, he sends his son for you and for me. He beautifully sends his only son for the lost. He sent Jesus Christ into a world of sin so that you and me could reach out to the Savior, say yes to him, and everything we've done, every single thing we've done, in a heartbeat is forgiven. Is that a beautiful God or what? Or what? As I sat in my bedroom after a third year of clubbing, enough was enough for me. And I said, God, okay, I'm going to give you all of this, and you're going to have to deal with it because it's 3 years of history that I just can't cope with myself anymore. So you're going to have to deal with this, you know, broken relationships, friendships that had broken down, people that I'd hurt. It's a mess, God, actually. It's a mess. And that night, I gave it all to him and never worried about it ever again. He took care of business. And you know, a lot of people say they want evidence of stuff. And they want evidence that things have happened. And up until a few years ago, in fact, up until 2 years ago, everyone swore blind that Adolf Hitler was killed in his bunker. That's what all the history books say. That's what everything says. But new evidence has put a question to that. New evidence has put a question to whether he was even there in the end at all. And there's a lot of evidence going around that says, actually, he might have made it to South America, you know. I've been watching this awesome history series on it right now, and I'm gripped. It's like National Treasure. Every week, I'm like, wow, it must be good. I was Steph's watching it. It's really, really interesting. It's really interesting. But like, there's a little bit of proof kicking around that maybe that didn't happen. Let me tell you that there's stacks of proof about a man called Jesus Christ. There's stacks of proof that Jesus Christ was born, that Jesus Christ lived for 33 years, that Jesus Christ died on a cross, and that Jesus Christ rose again for you and me. There's stacks of evidence for that, and it is undisputable. And tonight, by the Holy Spirit, he is in this room. Can you feel him? Can you feel the Holy Spirit in this room? Because it's real. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was here in the very beginning of time. He was here before you came in, and he'll be here when you go out. And this is what's amazing. As you go out, he will go with you. Because God said to me, I'm still here. I'm still here. And people cry out in this world that we live in now. And they say, if there's a God, if there's really a God, why are there starving people in the world? Forgetting the fact that politicians, evil men, and greedy businessmen control all the food that goes in and out of every country. Forgetting all that, they still blame God. They still blame God. Why is there so much crime? Why is there so much theft? Why is there so much physical violence going on in the world? Forget the fact that it's human beings that do it by choice. They still blame God. You know, a woman in America was brought up in a very violent, abusive relationship. Her mother and her boyfriend, so not her dad, but the boyfriend of this mother was a very abusive man, and he used to batter this girl's mum. Batter her. And one night he went too far. And one night he hit her and hurt her so much that he killed her. And this little girl was exposed to all those screams and all of those horrific nights and all the blood on the walls. All the blood on the walls. And it really damaged her. Really damaged. It would, wouldn't it? It would be normal to be affected by something like that. And years later, questioning, does God really exist? Because how can he exist if something as awful as that would happen to my mum? She said that God spoke to her and said, well, that's exactly what happened to my son. And I sent an innocent man into the world for a relationship with all of mankind. And you battered and killed him. And his blood spilt. And he was innocent. And I did that for you. that you would know the forgiveness and the grace that I desperately want you to receive, because I want to share my glory with you. And at that moment, she broke. Oh, she suddenly realized how beautiful God was. But it wasn't his fault that all of this was happening. It was his beauty that is saving us from it all. And that moment she repented and said, I'm sorry. Could you be my God, please? Jesus, can I ask you to come into my life? Holy Spirit, I sense you. I feel you're real. Please come into my life right now. And Jesus, whenever he went to places, took peace with him. Days after he was crucified and was risen from the dead, he walked into a room of 120 people and he said, my peace I give to you. And he blew on them. And peace reigned in that place. Peace reigned. And then he left and the Holy Spirit took over. And the Holy Spirit reigns on this earth. Jesus brings peace. Would you like peace? Would you like peace tonight? What is it that is filling your mind with concern and dread? What is it that bothers you and keeps you awake at night? Well, Jesus brings peace to you tonight. Peace I bring you, he said. And maybe as I've talked tonight, you're like, I don't even really know who you're on about. I don't even know who this Jesus is. But I like what you're saying about him. Just like Job, when Job went, I really like you, God. Maybe tonight you're like, do you know what? I really like the sound of you, Jesus. You took all my sin and you put it on yourself. What kind of a guy are you that you'd do that for me? And tonight I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. So could I just ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a second? You know, maybe you've never been asked this question, so I'm going to, because I don't know. But would you like to say yes to Jesus Christ tonight? Maybe you just like the sound of the fact that if you say yes to him, all of your sins in a moment can be forgiven because God is still here. Still here. I went to see my mum tonight. Just keep your eyes closed. I went to see my mum tonight and I said to my mum, Mum, if you went into a place, if you came to our church tonight and you had just one thing to say to them, what would you say? And she said, if you haven't said yes to Jesus, time's running out. Do it now, because you never know what tomorrow's going to bring. So if that's you and you've never said yes to Jesus, I want you to do one thing for me. Just quickly put your hand in the air. Yes, Jesus, I'd like to know you. If that's you, just put your hand in the air right now and put it straight back down again. Okay, now, maybe you've done that in the past. Maybe like me, you said yes to Jesus, but then your life changes and things of this world get a hold of you and drift you away and drag you away. Well, I want to tell you tonight that just like with me on the way home from that minibus, God says to you tonight, I'm still here. You might have moved, but I'm still here. And as I say those words, it gets you. And you realize that you have drifted away. And tonight is a real chance for you to do what I did when I was 19 years old, which is to say, I'm sorry I've drifted away. I want to come back tonight. I want to recommit my life to you. I want to reconnect with you, Jesus. I want you to be Lord of my life. If that's you, if you would like to reconnect tonight with Jesus, just quickly put your hand up. Who would like to reconnect tonight with Jesus? And pop your hand back down again. And then I want to talk about one more thing. I started this off by saying, the peace that passes all understanding. And maybe tonight you sit in your chair and you're not even listening to everything I say because there's stuff going on in your life that is really stressful, that is bothering you, that you're worried about, that you can't concentrate properly with, and you just want peace. You would love for Jesus to just blow it all off you right now and be at complete peace. Well, if that's you right now, just put your hand in the air. Who would like to receive the peace of Jesus Christ? And Becca or Lowry, can one of you two come up and just play something for me? Because here's what I'm going to do now. You've done it. You've done what you wanted. The main thing, which is you put your hand up. But if you would like, I would love to pray with you. If you put your hand up for any of those three reasons, I'd like you to come forward. And I'd just like to quickly lay hands on you. Because the Bible says that in the early church, as they laid hands on people, amazing things happened in the Spirit. And it is my experience that that is the truth. That when fellow brothers and sisters lay hands on each other, God does amazing things. So if you put your hand up for saying yes to Jesus or for reconnecting with Jesus, then come and stand here and I'm just going to lay hands on you. And if you put your hand up for peace, that you'd like to receive the peace that passes all understanding, you come and stand here and I'm going to lay hands on you very quickly. Do it now. Come out of your seat right now and stand either there or here.
You know, God was just speaking to me there about when I got real peace. Ian's been speaking all night about peace. It's amazing that God can give us that peace because he created it. You know, the thing that I needed peace about was actually death. You know, I said yes to Jesus 8 years ago, but still a couple of years into being a Christian, if you like, I didn't have peace about this one thing. And that one thing was, what happens when I die? Where do I go when I die? I don't really know that. And I just want to ask you a question tonight. If you know that, I feel that God wants to say to you, you can know tonight where you're going when you die. Let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asked the person who was saying that to, do you believe this? So I'm asking you tonight, do you believe that? You know, nothing brings more peace than knowing where you're going after you die. Jesus died, gave his life, so that you and I could know eternal life in heaven. Eternal life is a quality of life that starts right now. So if that's you, if that's speaking to you, if you want to know tonight that heaven is your eternal destiny, then come down to the front and one of us will pray for you.